The reading from the New Testament comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing to heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." This is the word of the Lord. This small passage is about a really big truth. It's about power. Power for life and work and ministry. But not just any kind of power. It's about God's power. And with regard to that, Matthew is urging us, through the Word of God, to do several things. And the first thing, of course, is to seek God's power. We need to reach for God's power. Christ was saying to his disciples who asked him why they couldn't heal the boy. In essence, he was saying to them, "You need to seek power from me. Bring the boy to me." That's where the source of power is. We see that kind of teaching of Jesus and urging of Jesus on other occasions. You remember when Jesus was preaching to thousands, and those thousands became hungry after their time together. That Jesus, wanting to feed them, asked what was available in terms of food, and you recall that they said, "There's a boy here. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. It's all we've got." And just like Jesus said to the disciples on this occasion in Matthew, "Bring the boy to me," he said in like manner, "Bring those things to me. By my power, I will care for these people." And of course, you know, by remembering the story, he multiplied those breads and fishes and fed everybody with much to spare. "Bring the boy to me." That kind of calling and urging is for us as well. And even though we can't bring our concerns, our friends, our loved ones, ourselves, to Jesus, who would appear to us physically, we can bring all of those things to him in prayer. You know, when Mark talks about this particular incident of this boy that needed healing, in Mark, there's a phrase that says, "This can only be solved by prayer." Bring the boy to me. There are some things, some challenges in life that are just too big for us to handle all on our own. They have to be brought to God. Our hands are too small to deal with those things. God's hands are big enough for everything. There's nothing bigger than God. So we're called to bring ourselves and others who need God's powerful touch to him. He's the source of power. When I speak to you on Sunday mornings, they ask me to get wired up. You see this thing that's kind of dangling off the ear here and clipped to my collar, and it wire goes down to a little thing in my pocket, and Mr. Magic back there, you know, he's the source of the speaking power through this microphone. If I weren't connected there, I'd have to shout a lot more to be heard. In my last church, I had a similar kind of setup. It was a lapel mic rather than one that attached to my ear. And the antenna on that particular wireless microphone system was an antenna that hung down from behind my coat, almost down to my knees. And not many weeks went by before somebody would always come to me and say, you got a string hanging down from your coat, Pastor. Mostly it was the women of the church that would do that because they were more fashion conscious and they didn't want the pastor to embarrass himself. The guys didn't care much, you know. They would think, hey, I've got a coat like that myself with stuff hanging down. Well, that antenna, wherever it is connected to a source of power. I wouldn't be able to speak in the kind of fashion that would be helpful to you in terms of hearing without that. You know, I have often wondered. There were times when Jesus spoke to thousands. How did he do that without a sound system? Without some wire hanging from his robe somewhere that hooked up to someone monitoring him? But whatever the case, whether it is for sound here in the sanctuary or whether it is in spiritual life, in order for us to take on the big challenges of life, we have to have access to power. There are some things that we cannot manage on our own. And if we ask Jesus why, he says, well, you got to bring your stuff to me. There are some things that are just my-sized, God-sized. So come to me in prayer. And as Mark said it, some things just aren't going to be healed without prayer. That's our access to God. Well, so we're to seek God's power, and then the Bible tells us to trust God's power. Not only reach for it, but to trust it, to have faith in it. I'd be interested to know what kind of tone of voice Jesus used when he said, oh, you of little faith. How long have I been with you that you don't believe? I think there's both the kind of a compassionate tone and an urging tone to say, your trust has to be stronger than it is. You know, I posed the question to this passage to say, what are we talking about here? Is it that we have a quantity of faith that is too small to accomplish what needs to be accomplished? Do we need to scrape up a bigger pile of faith and slide it over to God so that he would say, oh, I'm impressed. Okay, I'll do something now. Are we somehow to psych up this great giant mountain of faith before God will move? Well, then it gets a little confusing to me because we have little faith, Jesus says, to his disciples and perhaps to us. So what kind of faith are we supposed to have? Oh, the size of a mustard seed. Excuse me, but that's little faith. So we're being asked to trade in little faith for little faith. What's the issue here? Well, I suggest to you that the issue is not the quantity of faith. It has to do with the quality of faith. And it has to do with the direction we are extending our faith, the object of our faith. What needs to be large is the place where we put our faith. We're defined by the things and the people we trust. So here, we're talking about putting our trust in the right place and doing it sincerely. And if we do that, then our small faith, that of a mustard seed, if it's sincere and rightly directed, can move mountains, the Bible says. What are we trusting? When I was a teenager living in Central California, with friends, we would often go up into the Sierra Nevada mountains. In about an hour and a half drive from my home was Strawberry Lake. Strawberry Lake was above Sonora, California, gold country. It was a place that was lovely in the summertime, a vacation spot, and near there was a ski resort where we went in the wintertime. I remember one winter going to Strawberry Lake with my friends, and the lake was frozen over. And with enthusiasm, I ran onto that wonderful ice to enjoy that. And with just as much enthusiasm, the ice broke. And I fell through. The nice thing about that particular fall is I wasn't far from shore, so I didn't fall into a deep place. And so I went about chest high, and with some help from my friends who were enjoying laughing at me a lot, they pulled me out of that area, and I got dried off and continued my day. Here's a reason I tell you the story. I ran out onto that ice with lots of faith, lots of confidence. But my faith was in something that didn't deserve my faith. My faith was placed on thin ice. Lots of faith on thin ice isn't that helpful. It's better to have little faith on thick ice than what I experienced. My faith needs to be directed on something that can handle my faith. It's better to have a little faith, sincere mustard seed kind of faith, on a big God than a lot of faith on some small, untrustworthy, earthly thing. Jesus is reminding the disciples, have a mustard seed kind of faith at least. But have it in me. Trust in me. Allow me to be big enough to deal with the issues of your life. And then the Bible suggests, really from a section right before that which I read, that not only are we to seek God's power and to trust God's power for our things of life, but we're also to serve with God's power, minister with God's power. Each one of us is called to do that. In the verses before the section I read, the writer Matthew describes an event that happened in the life of Jesus when he took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. You remember. And something took place there that was just amazing. We call it the Transfiguration. And there was this amazing raining of God's blessing and light on Jesus that illuminated his presence with the disciples. And then there was a blessing of Jesus with the voice that came from the heavens. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And in the middle of all of that, Moses and Elijah showed up. Well, Peter couldn't handle this without just overflowing in excitement. He started jabbering away. Maybe that's why God said at that point, now listen to him. It's kind of a nice way of saying to Peter, keep your mouth shut. There's something going on here that you're going to miss. But Peter was busy talking. Moses was there, Elijah was there, Jesus was there, the voice of God was there. We've got to build some shelters here, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, let's build some condos for other people. Let's sell some timeshares. This is a great, great place. Well, listen, Peter. I'm affirming who Jesus is. I'm blessing this son of mine. And you're not to remain on top of this mountain. He took the disciples down from that mountain for what purpose? To serve Christ in the world they lived in. They weren't to isolate themselves in the majesty. The majesty was for those moments. But ministry was for the rest of their lives. We may have wonderful experiences spiritually in our prayer and in our meetings, whether it be in worship on Sunday or someplace else. But the blessings we receive from God, wherever we receive them, are not just meant for us alone. They're always meant to be shared. Any good thing that comes from God to us is meant to be shared. That's his plan. There's no exception. That whatever blessing we have, our thankfulness ought to overflow in the way we love others. That's what Christ is saying here. Is that we're to serve with this blessing, with this power, with this touch of God. I don't know if the name Debbie Fields is familiar to you. What would be familiar to you is Mrs. Fields cookies. That's who Debbie Fields is. She baked great cookies. So much so that her friends around her at one point encouraged her to open up a shop. You can sell these things, share them with other people. You'll make a few bucks doing this. And finally she did. She opened up a cookie store with her great tasting cookies. And as she tells the story, when she opened up that store, several days went by before anybody walked in the door. Business was not only terrible, it was non-existent. She'd bake these wonderful things and nobody was coming to buy. So what did you do? What did she do? You can guess. She went outside of the store with her cookies and began to hand them out to people, passers-by. And once they tasted those cookies, her business changed. But she couldn't wait for people to come in to taste them. She had to go out into her world and give them to people so they could taste it. Isn't that kind of like the way the church should be? So we have in this room a really impressive quality of love. There's care for one another here. I've seen it. Love for one another. We care about the world. We pray for the world. But the world isn't necessarily just rolling in to this place like we'd like them to be. What is the matter with them? This is such a loving place. If they would just taste the love that's in this place, they would be drawn to experience it over and over again. So what do we need to do? We need to go out of these doors, out of our homes or residences, share this wonderful love with people who are around us, relatives, friends, maybe even some strangers and passersby. Give them a taste of the love that God has given us. To minister to others with all of that. They'll want more. Perhaps they'll come here to continue to be fed by the love of God. Perhaps elsewhere. But our calling, according to the Bible, and according to the illustration of the Mount of Transfiguration, is that as marvelous as being together on that mountaintop, as marvelous as gathering together in a wonderful, loving Christian fellowship, we aren't meant to stay in that alone. We're to continue to enjoy that, but we're to take it into the world in whatever fashion is natural for us. To give respect and care for others. And if they ask where that love comes from, we can tell them. We can minister to them. We can share with them. The story of the boy. Who was having seizures and suffering greatly. Because of an evil inside of him. Was brought to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. And he reminded the disciples and all of us who are here today through Scripture. But the reason that happened is because disciples sought his power. Bring him to me. Because disciples like us trusted his power. Because his power was bigger than whatever the issue was that we were being challenged with. And then once God did his special work, then we overflowed with thanksgiving for his blessing, so his blessing could be shared with others. That's what the word of the Lord is telling us this morning. Holy God, may we receive your truth, not just human words, your truth, and place it deep inside of our spirit, so that it shapes how we live and how we trust you for the matters of our lives. We pray that in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Amen.